This is the third class of the class Sabbath. Today we're going to discuss about how are we going to keep the Sabbath. Whenever we talk about keeping the Sabbath, first we need to determine the time. When did the Sabbath start? In this world, there are three kinds of saying. First kind of saying is Sabbath starts after the midnight, right? Have you heard about that before? After midnight is next day, okay? That's one way of saying it. The second saying is what I heard is from every morning when the sunrise comes up, okay, that's the beginning of first day. And the third kind of saying is from evening. Okay? From evening, that's the beginning of the first day. So which way is right? Okay, let's vote, okay? First, I'd like to see. First, people who say the first way, from starting midnight, please raise your hand. Starting midnight, some people raise their hand. Okay. Now, second, anybody believe it started from morning? No? Okay. How about third one? Third one, evening. Okay, good. Good. So, and how about people who don't raise your hand? Don't know? Okay. Yeah, the correct answer is the third one. In fact, modern time, sometimes people say, hey, after Sabbath, some of the people say Friday night is not the Sabbath service because it's only after midnight. But do we have any Bible support to count days like that? No, right? How about the other way, the morning one? Some people say, according to the New Testament, during Roman time, people count days, right? Starting with morning. Okay? But in the Bible, it starts counting day from evening. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. In case every people ask you, how do you know the day starts from evening? You look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 5. So God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Right? So the first day will consist of evening and then the morning. Okay? If you look on to verse 8, the second day, okay, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Let's also jump to verse 13. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, let's go on to the last, next one, 19. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. On the fourth day, God created the stars, the sun, and the moon. But people sometimes ask me, some people don't agree with it. They say, well, in the first day, there was no sun, there was no moon, right? There's no stars. How do you know there's evening and there's the morning? Do you know what I'm saying? Agree? Okay, for me, Bible simply say, okay, I do not know exactly how God created. In fact, this passage, how things were created, okay, how is it possible those things happen? It's beyond our human understanding. However, Bible clearly tells us the first day, first starting with evening and the morning. So when God first created the world, God already counts the time already. Okay, in fact, God continued to count the time until what? Today. And let's look at Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 26 and onward. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 27, also the tenth day of this month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Verse 28, and you shall do no work on the same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Okay, verse 29. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. Let's jump to verse 32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your soul. On the ninth day of the month of at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Verse 33. Okay, let's stop here. So here we can see that how do they count the Day of Atonement? On the Day of Atonement, they need to so-called afflict your soul, right? It means fasting. On that day, you need to fast the whole day, afflicting the soul. But then, in verse 32, God told them, starting from the evening of the ninth day in the seventh month, to the next day, evening. So we can see here that God has been counting days. Okay? And so I always start with the evening first, and then the morning. So sometimes people not familiar with the Bible, these days, people maybe count wrong, or maybe people, this morning, evening, this so chaotic, you don't know what is it. But to God, God's quite clear. It starts always start evening. So when the Sabbath was revealed to people, when Moses told the people, keeping the Sabbath, they were starting from the evening. And they had been counting it. God also counting it too, is that time. So keeping the Sabbath, first, we need to realize that when the sun sets down, when the evening comes, in our heart, we need to say, now this is the day of the Lord. We have to set apart, okay? The second thing we need to do is how to keep the Sabbath. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own way, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Verse 13 tells us how to keep the Sabbath. And we need to meditate. In fact, because in the Bible, right, Bible basically gave us principles. Very rarely it gives us specific things, what to do. For example, the Bible say you cannot drive on Saturday, right? The Bible say you cannot watch TV, right? The Bible say you cannot cook. The Bible say that you cannot walk too long. No, it didn't say many things. But what Bible, so, certain circumstances, it said specific things. But usually, Bible gave us a principle. Okay, and in this way, in this class about Sabbath, this tells us, Bible give us how to keep the Sabbath correctly. Okay, so we have to meditate, we know what it means. It says here, first, if you turn away your foot from Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. So what does it mean? Right? What does it mean? We may say, I come to chapel. Okay, I come already. Well, but if we haven't come to inside the chapel to listen to the sermon, okay, and we just like to stay outside this chapel, you know, in the parking lot or somewhere else, hang around, do you think that person keeping the Sabbath? Some people might argue, I did. I come to the church, okay? But honestly, on this day, if we don't want to come in here, we hang around out there, honestly, we're not keeping Sabbath. Because why? From doing your pleasure on my holy day. Okay? So they did not consider this day is a delight. They didn't call the Sabbath a delight. But they feel coming to listen to a sermon is a burden. So what? They decide to stay outside. So in that way, we are actually breaking the Sabbath. Because we prefer to be outside than to be inside the chapel. Okay? There's one story goes like this. This is a testimony I heard a couple of days ago, yesterday or 2 days ago. It's a true story. Preacher Zhou, the senior, okay, was telling me telling us in graduate class that while he was a teenager, a college student, high school student, at that time he went to Taipei Church, and there's a, in Taiwan there's a church caretaker. And what happened is this is elderly Brother Ye, okay? He's called Brother Ye. And, you know, if kids sleeping very late, sometimes they chat for a long time, Brother Ye will go up there and knock on the door and say, time to sleep, okay? And then they will have to go to sleep, okay? Because sometimes the youth sleep at the church, like Saturday night. So the caretaker will remind them. And he told me the story how he came to believe. Actually, he was a Buddhist monk in a very famous temple in Taipei. And what happened is he has two wives. Monk not supposed to marry, and monk supposed not to eat meat too, but he liked to eat this beef. So he will go home and cook beef, eat at home or something. He has two wives, and then he will go to the temple. But then he didn't quite like it, and then eventually he come to our church and know the truth, and he was liberated, freed from the bondage, and so he didn't become monk, so he, you know, become believer. After a while, he become the caretaker of the church. And so one time, but usually caretaker had to have a lot of responsibility. At one time, at that time in the church, the pastor is rarely seen at a church because that time the preacher are few, they'll sit everywhere. So maybe about 3 or 4 months, the believers see preacher one time. And but the believer testified that sometimes they see angels more often than the preacher, okay? Because they see angels like, you know, maybe sometimes once every 2 or 3 months, but the preacher sometimes 3 or 4 months. And so what happened is, one time this deaconess Anna, I don't know if you know her. What happened is she will usually come early, and then she will come and kneel down and pray in the chapel. And while she was praying in the chapel, and when service starts, it was just started, she saw an angel walking by and was taking robes, people who come, who didn't come. And then, so Anna saw the angel, and then she remembered Brother Ye was in the first floor watching over the bikes. At that time, there's no not many cars and not many motorcycles, so there's a lot of bikes. But suddenly, somebody need to look after these bike, so what else the people may be stealing. And so he went down and take care of those things, watch over it. And so Deaconess Anna said to the angel, say, oh, don't forget Brother Ye. He's down there, first floor, watching the bike. Okay. And guess what angel said to her? If he's not here, it doesn't count. Okay. And so it's true. And then right after that, the Taipei Church will have a board member meeting. Immediately they discuss what to do, okay? Because he cannot watch the bike forever, or else he like keep it Sabbath, and he might not ever end up in heaven, okay? And so they decided that from that time on, people rotate, and then youth will take care of the youth. There are some youth, and youth have to rotate and look after the bike. So what does it tell us? Okay. We cannot say we come to church, I'm keeping the Sabbath, and we like to handle L. But that doesn't come in to listen. So you need to be careful, okay? So keeping Sabbath, it means doesn't do our own way, okay? This is Sabbath time. It's a family time. We need to come, fellowship with God, fellowship with brothers and sisters, okay? So that's one way. We shouldn't even thinking about going to casino, gambling. Sometimes people, after Sabbath, they cannot wait to drive to Las Vegas, okay? To have a little fun, okay? That's not right. Look at carefully what Bible said, okay? 58 say that not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. We cannot on Sabbath day and go to that kind of place, finding our own pleasure, right? We can tell the difference between our pleasure and God's pleasure, right? You think going to Las Vegas is God's pleasure or our pleasure? It's easy to tell, so. So in our life, we should be able to discern, okay? And sometimes people say, oh, I need to go home and rest. It's okay. After the service, after the afternoon service or morning one, if some elderly people feel tired, they could go home and rest. It's okay. But if we go home and what do we do? Party, play video games, okay? or what, do whatever. I mean, watching TV, really, is that a day of delight? Are we not finding our own pleasure? In this day, it's not like we're supposed to have no pleasure at all. But what Bible tells us, we need to find pleasure in God. That's why in chapter 58, verse 13, if you say, call the Sabbath a delight. So truly, this is the principle. Once we feel like Sabbath is a delight, we want to stay in church. We want to do the work of God. Okay, we want to follow God's will. We enjoy Sabbath. And really, in our heart, we truly enjoy the presence of God and feel our heart is peaceful, have received strength, have joy. Then we have entered into the rest of God. But if we come, listen to sermon, but heart is not in there, feel burdened, really, we haven't kept the Sabbath yet. Okay, we actually, strictly speaking, we're breaking the Sabbath. So this is the principle he gave it to us. Okay? The Bible say we shouldn't watch TV. Bible didn't say, right? I'm not saying we cannot watch TV on Saturday. However, to me, when I think of watching TV, I think about watching sermon, VCD. Okay? Really, some church, some location, they don't have preacher. They had to watch TV. And then when you watch TV, is what? VCD, sermon. Okay? That's allowed. Okay? But on Sabbath, if one is watching entertainment, in my heart, I don't agree with it. Okay? I don't think God would agree with it. This is precious time, family time, a day of rest. Should be fellowship and do something positive and very edifying. Okay? Not find our own pleasure. Okay? And we keep Sabbath different from the Jews. Do you know how Jews keep the Sabbath? To them, right? They have this rule. It says a person cannot light the fire, right, on the Sabbath. Let's look at a passage. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 35, verse 3. Exodus chapter 35, verse 3. Exodus chapter 35, verse 3. Okay. Here it says, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwelling on the Sabbath day. And so what happened is the Jews, right, they interpreted it to this day that if you turn on the light, that's turn on a fire. You kindle a fire. If you turn on a TV, what's that? That's a kindle a fire. Because that had to do with electricity or some kind of spark, right? That's a little fire, right? And so if you press this elevator button, right, and you press it and the red light comes out, right? The light comes out, you have light the fire, okay? And so once I moved to New York, I was told that in New York, there's a lot of Jews living there. And so they have this Sabbath elevator or something like that. What means Sabbath elevator? Meaning on Sabbath day, right, the elevator is programmed. On certain time of the day, like just say on Sabbath, from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, the elevator will automatically stop at every floor and opens up and close. Okay, so they don't have to press the button because that was violating, you know, Sabbath day, like kindle a fire. And so, but other days than that, other day than Sabbath, they would have pressed the seventh floor, then the first go straight to the seventh. And in between, they would not stop. And that's how they keep the Sabbath. And Jews, right, on Friday night, they say, okay, time of rest, right? Rest at home. And so what do? They feel bored, so they watch TV. But they cannot turn on TV, right? So what? They have a timer, okay? At a certain time, it turns on. I watch TV. But then there's a problem. But what if this program is boring? What are they going to do? They cannot switch it. And one time, one Jew is knocking on our believer's next door, knocking our believer's door. And say, can you come into my place and switch the channel for me? Okay. Because why? Because they are keeping this rule. Do not kindle a fire on the Sabbath day. Do you understand? Okay. But to us, right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 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 Who also made us sufficient as minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What does it mean? Okay? What does this mean? Today, there are some regulations in the Old Testament. We do not keep it literally. We'll keep the meaning. Okay? But Ten Commandments, we certainly keep it literally and spiritually. But this other regulation, like the Sabbath, you cannot kindle a fire. We keep in the spiritual, we don't keep the letter. Okay? What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example. Okay. What does it mean kindle a fire in the Bible? What does it mean kindle a fire? You're welcome to do a word study. You type in, look at kindle a fire, and the concordance or computer will give you a list of what's kindle a fire. Kindle a fire, there's some positive and some negative. And there are three things that we shouldn't do on Sabbath day. Okay? For example, kindle a fire, first meaning is mean destruction or anger. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's look at first Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22. 32, 22. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundation of the mountain. Here it tells us that when the Lord described his anger, he described what? A fire is kindled. Okay? It's so fierce, okay, it can burn to the lowest hell. And so basically, when we're keeping the Sabbath, okay, we need to, on the Sabbath day, we cannot be like hatred, okay? We need to know that this is a day, a God's day, okay? We need to put aside our own feeling, okay? What does the Bible say? The Bible say the same thing too, okay? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23. Verse 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever said to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever said, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Okay, verse 25, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Okay, here it tells us, you know, we shouldn't be call people fool, stupid, right? And we should really have something against our brothers. Okay? And a Sabbath day definitely is a day of what? Of peace. Okay? We're supposed to show mercy. Okay? It's not, of course we need to show mercy every day. But in this day, we need to be, you know, this is day that belongs to the Lord. We need to be extra careful that we do not sin against him. And so this passage tells us that if our Sabbath, you know, we come to God, come before his altar, and if we remember that, we are arguing with somebody else, okay? We need to, reconciliate. If we're all wrong, we definitely need to apologize, okay? And deal with the matter so that there's peace, okay? So we do not keep it literally, okay? But on the Sabbath, we shouldn't kindle a fire in our heart having hatred against people. Second, candle fire usually being used as worship, right? Because when the priests offer incense, they need to kindle a fire and to burn incense or burn a sacrifice to God. But you know what? In the Bible, there's two kinds of fire. On Sabbath, we need to kindle the what? The holy fire, not the profane fire. What happened when people offer profane fire? Profane fire means it's not according to God's way. For example, they're supposed to get the fire from the altar to burn the incense. But they didn't. They decided to get the fire from their house, okay, the kitchen fire, and burned it. To me, to some people, it's the same thing. It's all fire. But God specifically mentioned the fire had to come from the altar. Okay? But they didn't. And so what happened is the Aaron's two sons, they offered profane fire. And guess what? God killed both of them. So what does it mean? On Sabbath, we need to, when we do work for God, we have to do according to God's will. We cannot kindle this unauthorized fire. We cannot kindle this profane fire. Okay, these are spiritual teaching. Okay, so in other words, on the day of Sabbath, we cannot preach. Of course, we cannot preach heresy any time. Okay, but what I mean is, we have to make sure that we are preaching the right thing. Okay. So we're keeping it spiritually, okay? And the third thing is candle fire also means strife. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21. 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 It says, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contagious man to kindle strife. Okay? On Sabbath, suppose day of rest, right? Physical and spiritually, it's fellowship. We shouldn't come to church with what? You know, some people have bad temper or some people want to find trouble. And so they come to church and you know, start criticizing, backslander, say this and say that, causing dissension, so that there's no harmony in the church, causing dissension between brother with brother. That's not right, okay? And definitely, that kind of thing, definitely breaking the Sabbath. Not just sin against God, but also sin against Sabbath, okay? It's double the punishment, okay? So today, kindle a fire. We do not keep it literally, but we keep the spirit, okay? We do not do those things, the three things that we mentioned, okay? So, let's come back to the TV thing, right? TV is a neutral thing. If we use it, okay, we could, you know, ignite this, spark and then this TV appear. We need to use it for the good purpose, okay? And so that's not sinning against God, okay? Any question about this? Clear? Okay, let's turn back to Isaiah, chapter 58. Let's continue. Isaiah chapter 58. Now, let me ask you this question. That it says, we already discovered not speaking your own word, right? We already discussed about it. We shouldn't have strife. We shouldn't slander, do all those evil things. Not finding your own way, not finding your own pleasure, not doing your own way. Is go shopping a sin? Think about it. Is go shopping a sin? Some people say yes, some people say no, right? I heard many ways of explaining it. For those people who say it's a sin, raise your hand. Well, it's not a sin. Nobody says it's a sin? It's on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, you go shopping. No. It's not a sin? Okay, so can I not go? Huh? It's a sin? Okay. But for example, okay, this is a tricky question, but I'll tell you the answer. For example, what if I'm a preacher, right? Sometimes I have to drive to, long distance, okay? And one tank of gas is not enough, okay? I drive from one church to the other church to preach. And on the way home, I run out of gas. What should I do? Buy gas, right? Can I go buy gas? Yeah. Nobody gonna say, well, by the way, just stay there. Wait until sites there, and then, or maybe on the way to church, like I don't have gas, and I just wait. Yes, Travis? Work on Saturday? Okay, right. Okay. Now, well, I'll explain that later. Okay, what is called work? Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, shopping, just like TV, okay, it's a neutral thing. Okay. If I need gas to go to church to preach, okay, I have to buy it, okay? And what it says, on Sabbath, we shouldn't do shopping unnecessarily, okay? What's unnecessary? If it's necessary, if I had to buy it to get a thing, something to do with holy work or something, I had to buy it and go to do work, or those are necessary, okay? We can do it. But let's say, after Sabbath, I have nothing better to do. Let's go to mall and take a look, shopping, miscellaneous things, the small gifts, decoration. Are those necessary things? No, they're not, right? So we can tell what's necessary and what's unnecessary, okay? So here it tells us we're not supposed to go our own way or do our own pleasure, okay? But if buying something necessary, it's not our own pleasure. Okay, so you see a difference? Okay, now if we do that, what shall happen to us? Verse 14, we read it. That's the two blessings we'll receive. But I forgot to ask you, right? What are these two blessings represent? Have you think about it? One time, a couple days ago, I asked a sister, "Oh, I forgot to tell you what the Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 14, the blessing means." Okay. And she looked at it. I was asking her, "Do you know what these blessing means?" And I realized people don't know. Okay. For example, the first blessing is, "I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth." What does it mean? High hills of the earth. Anybody know? You keep the Sabbath. You call it a day of delight. You're not doing your own pleasure. You're not doing your own way. You're not speaking your own words. And God will cause you to ride on the high hills of earth. What does it mean? Okay. This, for me, when we read Bible, when we read something, there's a blessing, a promise to certain things, or anything we don't understand, we have to figure out. Not just read that, okay, yeah, that's a blessing, who cares? I don't know what it means. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 13 and 14. Let's put a bookmark on Isaiah chapter 58. We'll come back. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. This is talk about Israelites. Jacob is the representation of Israelites. "He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rocks." Verse 14, "Curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and ram of the breed of Bashan and goats, with a choice wheat, and you drink wine, the blood of the grapes." Okay? Here describe that God provided for the Israelites. Okay? Verse 13 says, God made Jacob, or the Israelites, right in the heights of the earth. And then from verse 13, explains that they eat a produce, and then what? God even caused honey from the rocks, and what? Oil from the flinty rocks. Okay, that means that God provides for them. Okay, and also give them the best. Verse 14, it says the breed of Bashan. Okay, that means the sheep over there in Bashan is pretty good. Is a good, because they have a lot of grazing field. So God provide for them, also provide best for them. So what it means if we keep Sabbath, God will provide our daily necessity. Don't worry about it, okay? We know that from the Bible, we can see God provided on Friday, God provided twice as amount of food for them, right? And we have brothers and sisters testify that, you know, they close business on Friday night to Saturday night, right? That there's this time. And God still blessed them, okay? They're still making a very good living, okay? Business is still good, okay? So God do provide. But I want to emphasize one thing is, usually we human beings thinking about the physical blessing. God will provide for me the physical blessing. But no, also spiritual blessing too, okay? We know that on Sabbath, okay, if we keep it, we receive blessing. It's not just physical, but also spiritual. We know that Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, he feeds 5,000 people, right? He able to feed 5,000 people and perform that miracle. But also, Lord Jesus Christ transfigured on the mountain of transfiguration, right? We all heard about that. Which one is better? Peter ate the bread too. He was among the 5,000. Okay, but then in the mountain of transfiguration, when he saw the glory of Lord Jesus Christ, he felt so wonderful. And he said to Lord Jesus Christ, let us make three tabernacles, three tents. And so that, what? You can dwell in there. And what? So that Peter can enjoy in that place forever. Okay. What does it mean, these two miracles? The miracle, able to feed 5,000 and provide for our daily necessity, that's good. But honestly, that is the least of a blessing we should pursue. Okay, we shouldn't even worry about our daily food. God will provide for us. What do I say that? You know, if today somebody treat you a McDonald's, okay, it's good, but what if he treat you for 3 days? He tell you to eat McDonald's every day. You feel sick, right? Oh, please, don't give it to me. I don't want to eat any McDonald's, okay? I'm sick of it, okay? Food, you know, no big deal, right? But then if you experience what Peter experienced in the mountain of transfiguration, saw the glory of God, that blessing is greater than eating McDonald's, right? Somebody treat you a whole day of McDonald's, okay? So coming to the Sabbath, okay, not that just God gave us physical blessing, but also we need to pursue spiritual blessing so we feel so happy, we feel joyful, like Sabbath is like heaven on earth, okay? We enter into the rest of God. That's what we need to pursue. Okay, so this is the first blessing, right on the high hills of earth. God will provide the best for you, okay? And it's beyond human logic. How can it be possible if I close down, I earn less money? But God has his way. Just like Bible say, God can produce what? Oil and honey from the rocks. That's amazing, isn't it? Okay? That's the description that God is able to do so and provide for people. The second blessing, let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 14. And feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. What is the heritage of Jacob? What is the heritage of Jacob? Let's look at a verse. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, same book. Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 4. Chapter 33, verse 4. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. Here it says, Moses commanded a law for us. I mean, basically, Moses gave them the law, the word of God. And that's what? That is the heritage of congregation of Jacob. So today, when we keep the Sabbath, God is going to give us the heritage of Jacob, which is the word of God. Going to feed us. So we both receive the physical blessing and spiritual blessing. Okay? But if we keep the Sabbath, if we don't keep the Sabbath, okay, we're going to lose both of them. We don't have physical blessing and we don't have spiritual blessing. Okay? So this is what God said. And verse 14, in the end, it says, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do God ever lie? No, he doesn't lie. Okay? God's word never bounce. So what does that tell us? We need to keep it so that we can reach that blessing. Think about it. Do you have any company that pays you Saturday? Always pay you Saturday. You don't come to work. He pays you. Do you have any kind of job like that? If you have that job, let me know too. Okay? You don't go to work, but he pays you for that day. Always. Not just, you know, once a while. So every week. I don't think so. But God's very merciful. God's the greatest, the best boss in the world. He gave us that time, that blessing. So we should put aside the worldly thing. So I know that a lot of us will be going to work in the future. And when we look for work, okay, let's not get desperate. Sometimes people get desperate and say, nobody hired me. Oh, this one job required me to work Saturday. I got to take it because if I don't take it, then I don't have a job. Okay? Sometimes it's a test, honestly. If we tell God, God, I want a job that I'm able to keep Sabbath. Okay? And if we're able to wait and search, wait until God's time, God will give us a job. Okay? You think God is so cruel? No, it's not. God's our Father. He knows that we need a job, right? But sometimes, really, we need to have that determination to keep God's commandment. Then God will open a way for us. And we shouldn't look at any. We shouldn't go for after any job that requires Saturday working. Okay. So that's a direction. Okay. Look before you jump. And don't say, once you go into it, oh, God understands. Oh, maybe I just had to need to pray more and whatever. That's not right, because we already knew the God's commandment already. Okay? So do you have any questions? Because we're about to end in 1 minute.